Namaste, everyone, and Tisa here. Welcome to Satsang with Shanti Mai. As you know, Satsang is made up of your inquiries, your discussion topics, your questions for Shanti Mai. And in order to speak with her, you will need to use the raise hand function here on Zoom. That can be found at the bottom of your screen under the reactions icon. If you already now know that you have something that you would like to bring to Shanti Mai and to the assembly, feel free to prepare yourself to click on that button. She may have a transmission to offer at the beginning, so do wait until she asks, but be ready to go if she does. We do ask that when you are in your turn to speak, that you unmute your microphone. You will be given that permission and you'll need to accept. And then we do request that you have your background to a minimum so that there isn't any noise and that you have any notifications on your device turned off so that there aren't any interruptions during the conversation between you and Shanti Mai. Please also speak clearly into your microphone so that you can be heard easily by everybody. You'll need to be sure that your video is also on. We do ask that you are here totally in the same way that you would be if we were all in the same room together, and we will be soon. What that means is that if you need to take a drink of water or move around in any way, that you please turn your screen off, or best to wait until satsang has come to completion. We understand, obviously, that that can't always be controlled, so please turn your video off if you do need to move around for any reason. If you have any technical challenges, please do use the email that you received with the link in this in order to address those, unless you can't raise your hand and would like to, and then you can send a message to one of the hosts and we will make sure that you get into the queue. Your donations are welcome, and in order to send a donation, you can either use bank transfer or PayPal, and all of the details for how to do that can be found in the email that you used for this link. If you have any questions, of course, reach out to starmediainfo@gmail.com and we will be happy to help you however that is needed. We have Premo offering bhajans for us today.
Jaya Guru Omkara, Jaya Jaya Satguru Omkara, Jaya Guru Omkara, Jaya Jaya Satguru Omkara. Sadashiva Hara Hara Jaya Guru Omkara. Satguru Omkara. Brahma Vishnu Sarashiva.
Hey, Primo.
Oh,
we all have your do-do-do-do's down. Over the years, we pretty much learned where you're going with those chants.
Yeah, I love them.
Nice one.
I love you.
You do?
Yes. Very much.
That. I love that you love me and I love you.
Yes.
Love is easy.
Yes.
Once you get it, it's always there.
Yeah.
Isn't that right?
That's right.
It can be. Of course, it depends on what you do with your thoughts. But if you're not roving around in the mud there, you're probably doing pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
Not just you. I'm talking generally. Mm-hmm. So there's Maharaji. Right there. So let us begin. Om Shri Satche Mahaprabhu Ki Jai. Paramatma Ki Jai. Gurudev Bhagawan Ki Jai Satcha Sangha Ki Jai. So I always start with the ashram seal because it sets the atmosphere. Mm-hmm. That's what it does. I had an interesting exchange, and I feel that this is probably a little bit or a lot or not at all of a misunderstanding that people have about doer and non-doer. This doer and non-doer is a duality. There is no duality, you see. So when we figure that we're the non-doer, who is the non-doer? It's the one who claims to be doing the one who needs the, well, let's see what Lao Tzu says here on the, on this. I'll read some Lao Tzu for you. I love Lao Tzu. This is a really good one. It's backwards, as you can see, but it's the Jane English and Gia Fu Feng translation. It's been out since the 70s. So he takes all of the dualities and says, well, let's read it. I'll read it to you. Listen up. Ready? Okay. Under heaven, all can see beauty as beauty only because there's ugliness. This is for you, Madhu. All can know good as good only because there is evil. So if you cannot see the darker side and you're always only looking at the light side and making up the light side out of the dark side and not admitting that the dark side exists, you're fooling yourself. You should be able to see the entire spectrum and rise above it. Therefore, having and not having arise together, difficult and easy complement each other, long and short contrast each other, high and low rest upon each other, voice and sound harmonize each other, front and back follow one another. Therefore, the sage goes about doing nothing. We're going to go into this a little bit. Teaching, no talking. So often I've asked you to go to silence and discover that language of silence. 10,000 things rise and fall without cease. So it's always going on, always going on, always going on. This is the way of the universe. Creating, yet not possessing. Working, yet not taking credit. Work is done, then forgotten. Therefore, it lasts forever. Why does it last forever when it's forgotten? Because it doesn't begin and end with you. And if, so this conversation that I was having the other day, oh, I'll tell you which verse that is in case you want to look it up. That is the second verse. Usually the first verse of any great scripture is the most potent. And the ending verse as well. And everything in between. So, but I always see the first verse as very important. So this interesting conversation was going, well, it wasn't a conversation, it was an exchange. It was by email. About the doer and the non-doer and that God does and I don't. Well, God does and I don't is still a duality. Oh gosh, the whole assembly went quiet. Well, what does it mean that God does and I don't? I am the non-doer. God is the doer. God is somewhere else doing whatever God does. And here I sit alone doing nothing no matter what I do. The point, and it's a very important point, is that everything that you experience from the flow of your blood to the day and the night to the bloom of stars in the evening, to the birth of a baby, to the rivers running, to your breath, to your heartbeat, is in fact what we may call the divine presence of God. Within all things is all things, and beyond all things at once. So this is very important, not just to mentally say, oh, yeah, God is, all is God, like we say, all is one. I love it that people do say it. But it takes some diving into and some discovery to see that that is so. Not just that people say it, and it's a cool thing to say because you're spiritual. And now we say that, people think we know that. And maybe we do. Maybe some people do. And maybe some people don't. Maybe some people just say it and repeat it like a mantra until it becomes evident. God is all there is, period. And God being the doer means that it doesn't begin and end with you. It began long before you, and it will continue long after you. And whatever you do is done by the divine grace of fingerprints, hands moving, breathing, and heart beating. Which are all involuntary. You didn't design your fingerprints. You didn't design your breath. You just came popping out of your mom's womb going, and there it started. And then there is the last breath. The first breath is an in-breath. The last breath is an out-breath. And all the breaths in between are involuntary and brought to you by who you truly are. And can we say you are truly God? We can at best say all is God. And whatever God is, I swear it's really difficult. I swear. It's really difficult to bring that into focus unless you are including everything that could ever be, everything that could ever was, shall be, could not be, impossible to be, is being dreamed into existence. Whatever that is within me that functions like movement and sight and hearing and sound and all that I experience is what I would call God living, the dreaming called Shanti Mai and you. I love what the great master, I have to go through the lineage. Let's see, there's Marpa, Milarepa. Milarepa's guru was Tilopa. And Tilopa says, and I love this statement, to deny your divinity is arrogance. And we may be afraid of our friends thinking, well, you don't have to tell your friends what you're seeing. You are a laboratory in your own. And your inner work does not involve anyone else, although they may be helping you in many ways just by knowing you, just by being with you, irritating you or loving you, having joy with you or manipulating you, whatever it is. This is the laboratory of which I figure all of that out and rest in love. Someone wrote to me the other day, it was very beautiful. And this person was very, very, very close to my son's passing. You couldn't get any closer. She took really some of the family karma off of our plate because she took care of him in his last days. And she said the other day, she said, we do these little things on a telephone. I have a telephone for the first time in my life. I'm not real pleased with it because I don't like telephones. And yet it has served us very well. So she said, and it didn't relate to Don, she said, don't let your heart ache over this. I said, whatever happens, my heart is not aching. I'm at peace. She wrote back, that, capital letters, is very good. I said, yeah. Yes, it is. Because whatever happens in the universe, it may create tears in me. It may create a moment of bursting in the heart, bursting in the heart. And if I go just a little deeper than the burst, let the burst occur. We don't have to resist it. We must not. Even right in the center of the bursting, there is that deep, powerful peace. That was very good. So to get back to the doer and the non-doer, once we think that God's doing and we're not doing, we've already created a duality. It's just, being that God is all there is, God is all there is. And any idea that we may form and adhere to about God will be a partial view. It won't be the whole view. So that God is doing means that you are moving and you are breathing and your heart is beating and you have an earth to live on. And the earth spins in the solar system, and the solar system I wait till Gopi finishes her drink. Yeah, no problem. I'm just going to wait because I want your attention. This is our time, isn't it? You can get a drink. It's not a problem. I just wait. I'm happy to wait. One must realize, self-realization is to realize that it doesn't begin and end with us, with me. So this person who I was exchanging with also said, well, I don't know why I'm vying to be, these are my words, vying to be special. And I said, you are special. There's only one of you ever, that you're never going to be repeated. Of course, that's our commonness. Isn't it beautiful? Oh, I can see that some people say yes. Some people really don't like that idea at all. Well, that's the way it is. So your speciality is true in the dreaming of the great dreamer, which brings all of this about, this illusion of life. Take it too seriously. Think that you are isolated. Follow your feelings, even though they don't lead you in a good place. Sometimes they do. You discriminate whether they do or don't. Follow all kinds of thoughts. And well, we're left in a feeling of isolation and opinions and some hardship, some joy. There is only God. My saying so doesn't make it so. If I said there's nothing in this world that is God, my saying so doesn't make it so. It's a discovery that people find within themselves. You are special. Why do you need to do anything from the outside of your being to bring attention to yourself that you're special? You're already special. Why would you vie for speciality? There's no one like you ever going to be again, never was. And yet this is our commonness. So God is the doer through you. And who I think I am and who I believe myself to be, the beginning and the end of all things, is not doing really anything. The sage does nothing. Why does a sage do nothing? Why does a sage do nothing? Why did Lao Tzu say that the sage does nothing? Because whatever that is, the Tao, according to Lao Tzu, is doing through you. So once you separate yourself from the Tao, then you're going to have to work it out that you're the non-doer and God's the doer and all of that. So let's just look at what Lao Tzu says in the beginning. You just see God as the doer doing through you, beating your heart, creating the atmosphere of prana and air, birth and passing, moons and suns and stars and little houses and little dogs and cats and mice and rivers and streams. I could go on for lifetimes like this and never exclude that which has and is creating all of this and beyond all of this at once. The Tao that can be told is not the eternal Tao. The name that can be named is not the eternal name. The nameless is the beginning of heaven and earth. The named is the mother of 10,000 things. Ever desireless, one can see the mystery. Ever desiring, one can see the manifestations. These two spring from the same source, but differ in name. This appears as darkness, darkness within darkness, the gate to all mystery. So we don't have a name. I mean, even the Tao is not the name. But when you realize that this entire universe is functioning on its own. I love what Sophia Pistis Sophia says, that the sun just arrived, just on its own. Just started bursting on its own. I'm looking at Surya. Yeah, he's smiling right now. His smile is brought to you by God. His teeth are brought to you by God. His beard is brought to you by God. His face is brought to you by God. His presence is brought to you by God. That's all there is. So we really take a look deep inside. Well, some people will say, well, if it's God, why is there war? Why is there hatred? Durga and I were speaking about this today. It's because some people have not heard have not been told, the hint has not been given yet, but it will be. One day, one lifetime, everyone will come home, everyone. So when you have people who have not heard, and they isolate themselves away from the totality of all that is, there's anger, a desire to control the entire world. Can you imagine? That's just far out for me. How can anyone desire to control the whole world? I mean, for what? They kill each other, they hurt each other. This is the planet where that plays out. Mm-hmm. And when we're in the midst of it, which we are, we dig a little deeper. And we see, like the rishis see, with the eyes of the heart and wisdom, that it doesn't matter what goes on here. Of course, it does matter. This is another way of saying that there could not even be people who hate each other without a planet, without a solar system, without air, that God, whatever that is, within me, as I am, as you are, is fully functioning at all times in everything and is never separate from you. So when you see that, well, we'll just use this sentence, God is the doer. You cannot separate yourself from that and say, I am the non-doer. I had an instance in a long time ago in Australia where I was driving with a very nice person, and she gave me a loaf of bread she made. But you remember that story?
Yeah.
I said, this is really nice. Thank you. You made a beautiful, beautiful loaf of bread here. I'm the non-doer. But she didn't really understand what that meant. Like Lao Tzu, the sage does nothing. Why does a sage do nothing? Because the sage is aware that whatever movements they make is due to the totality of all that is. So she became the non-doer and God became the doer. And I said, gee, you didn't like knead this bread and put it in the oven? Then she got confused. Who designed the wheat, the heat, the yeast, the water, that which I am and all beings are without question? Then that duality ceases to be important at all. Because there is no duality. When I was a young kid, I got that awareness because I considered that I couldn't throw anything out of the universe and I couldn't add anything new. That it was a one functioning situation which you cannot escape from or create anything outside of itself. You see, God is all there is. There is only that which I am and all beings are. And can you say, well, I am God? Well, if you want to, go for it, but you'll have to include all of beingness, non-beingness, beyond beingness, the illusion of life. You cannot isolate God. You can only think that you can isolate yourself, but you can't. So the sage continues to do work without taking credit, and therefore it lasts forever, because it doesn't begin and end with you or me. We could go into this very deeply. I think we already have, but we could even more. So if anyone wants to raise their hand, let's do that. Hello, Michael. How are
Shanti,
you?
Bye. I'm well. I'm much better for seeing you.
You always say that.
I
much
know.
Better
well,
for seeing you.
Because it's true. You always light me up.
Oh, good.
I do have a question for you, but before we got some good news last week. I mean, you might have been aware of the fact that the government in India was not issuing tourist visas for Canadian
yes.
nationals.
Yes.
And they've rescinded that. So we were able to, we have our visa now. So
nice. We'll see you in India.
Happening. Yeah. We'll see you in India for sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Great.
There was a couple of things I wanted to run by you and just actually almost as an aside, just what you were just saying about it's all God and I was listening to an interview with an astrophysicist. His name is Hubert Reeves. I'd never heard of him before, but apparently he's well known in Europe. And his specialty is the origins of the universe, the Big Bang, and that. But he said this, and this is a scientist. He said the most amazing thing, because he was kind of describing how, there was an event, and there's all these molecules over 14 billion years assembled themselves into human consciousness, among other things. But he said that he often says to people he's talking to that he often says to them, just stand there and close your eyes and say, I exist. And I thought, from a scientist, that was such an amazing statement to make, it's all, yeah, for me, there was nothing more to even say about that. It's just such a wonderful illustration of I am.
It is.
Yeah.
One day science will catch up with the Upanishads.
Yeah, so that takes us to the Upanishad. And I've been listening to your transmissions and it's really opening them up for me. But the thing I keep getting stuck on, and I think it's, and I guess it's the fact that, because, when Krishna is talking to Arjuna, particularly in that first chapter, even in the second chapter about, because Arjuna doesn't want to fight. He doesn't want to enter into this conflict. And he doesn't want, he's got relatives, cousins, and how can, I can't be killing these people. And of course, Krishna is saying, there's no death. There's no, and it's a wonderful teaching, I think, but I just can't get past the fact that, because in chapter two, Krishna says that a righteous war is a blessing to
a warrior.
Warrior, yeah. Yeah. And yeah. I mean, I think, intellectually, I'm thinking, you know, that's Arjuna's true nature is to be a warrior. That's just, you know, but it's like, but it's still killing people, and it's still, you know,
Not according to Krishna. There is no death, you know.
But I guess I bring my sort of, you know, the moral structure I have, you know, just doesn't kind of fit with that somehow, or that, you know, just this sense that, how do I get my head around the fact that there's this great nobility in war and in the true nature of a warrior, and it kind of goes into the whole kind of caste idea that Krishna wants him to find his own true nature, and
that's what he's doing, isn't it, in the Bhagavad Gita? I would say, close your eyes and say, I exist. And you'll see everything is within that. And this is, Krishna gave Arjuna the highest teaching he could possibly transmit on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. And Arjuna was the greatest warrior of that time. And it was. In Zen, there's something called the spinning mirror. Now you see it, now you don't, now you see it, now you don't, now you see it, now you don't. Maharaja used to call it the flickering of enlightenment. The people do see, then they don't see, then they do see, then they don't see, and it becomes more and more steady, and the spinning mirror begins to slow down. And for certain people who, well, this is really, really edgy. People who are at the point of transcending the illusion of Maya will understand that. And they may never kill anyone. And they may never condone killing anyone. But they will see that there is no death to anyone. You know, this is what I saw with Donnie. And people would say something like, I'm sorry that you're grieving. And I was, and I am. But I understand that my son just took off a body that was completely shattered. And that which came into life was not the vehicle of life, not any of the thoughts, not any of the experiences. They all pass. Everything goes here. And you can hold on to that moral fiber. I think it's healthy. And still understand and not cling to that moral fiber as though it is the truth. You will have to transcend it. Your heart will demand it of you. So to hold on to that moral fiber is healthy, and it's also righteous. It's as righteous as Arjuna on the battlefield with Krishna saying, yes. Fight, Arjuna. Arjuna says, I will not fight. Krishna says, stand up, be a warrior, and do your duty. And then he does. And the war goes on because it was destined to go on. What is destiny? Destiny is what's ever happening. Not what could happen, not what should happen, but what is happening is destiny. No?
Yeah, I like that.
Yes. The reason that I requoted your point was, when you close your eyes, what the scientist said, when you close your eyes and you say, I exist, well, you have to do that. I did it when you were speaking. I didn't close my eyes, but I saw what you were talking about. Everything included. And I'm going to say it. In the night when you're dreaming, when somebody passes or is killed in your dream, was anyone killed in your dream? This is the problem with the identity, with the body and the personality, and creating all of these ideas as you think life should be. But it's also fine. You will come to a point where you will see that no one has ever been born and no one will ever die. And I love that the statement says no one or no body. Very, very precise language.
I can't remember the language, but in the teaching, Krishna at one point says it's something about whatever exists could never not have existed, and whatever has not existed can never exist. You know,
that's right.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a very deep teaching, and you know, the Bhagavad Gita, you can read it all of your life, and it will develop another meaning, and another meaning, and another meaning. And another meaning, only depending upon you. And you should never measure yourself or compare yourself or identify totally as a body, so Krishna gave Arjuna very, 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 very precise, very high teaching right from the start. Get in there, Arjuna, and fight. And in a way, remember that Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita is also speaking about the fights that we have with ourselves. Kill the enemy, Arjuna. Strike him down. So it's very multifaceted. And I want that the people here in the satsang who is listening to the Bhagavad Gita, because I don't know who's listening to the Bhagavad Gita, and I want to know if people appreciate the teaching, not necessarily the transmission, but what is brought to them through the Bhagavad Gita. I really want to know that, because I've only had a couple people comment on it. And I'd like to know if we only have a couple people tuning in. If we do, then we'll have the Bhagavad Gita and other transmissions, Bhagavad Gita and other transmissions, but all the teachings are right there.
Yeah, it's yeah. Well, I hope you do, because it's really opened it up.
We're working on the fourth chapter now, where Krishna says, you know, that he comes into being and he departs through his own yoga maya. through his own illusion of himself. Oh! Really good. Needs to be said. Wake up. Hello. Wow. It's a very rarefied teaching.
Yeah.
For me, it's like, oh, God, is this wonderful.
Yeah. No, I'm so glad we're doing it. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad I'm doing it too. People have asked for a long time. So, yeah. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Shanti Mai.
Yeah, I love you. Give Margaret
love
my
love. Love you too. I will, you bet. We'll see you in India.
Yeah. Give her a hug for me. I'm not a hugger, but you give her a hug for
me. Okay, I'm going to give her a Shanti Mai hug.
Here he says, you hug me once. So, okay, thank you. I'll see
Thanks,
you
yeah.
for sure in India.
You bet.
Yes. I'm going to go to Sahara. Because, and then we'll come to Ramananda, because I know that when Sahara puts something on, he's got something to add to what's being said. Go ahead, Sahara.
Namaste, Shanti Mai. The story of Arjuna and the night before the battle, I've been considering that since I first read the Bhagavad Gita so many years ago. And something that arose for me in that consideration recently is that Arjuna had also spent at least the last 12 years up to that point arranging for this war to happen.
That's right. You got to read the whole, you have to read the whole Mahabharata.
Right. So he was working hard to make that battle happen.
That's right.
And then the night before, he's like, Krishna, but I don't want to be a warrior. And Krishna's like, well, it's too late for that. He may have been able to make that decision 12 years prior, instead of making the oaths, instead of making rivalries, instead of making allies and enemies, instead of doing these things. If he had been attending to the peace of the moment, he may have not ended up in that position. And that this is his... not only a dharmic, but also a very karmic story, in that he was left to battle his own creation.
You can only have dharma through karma.
Hmm.
In every place where Krishna says action, the Sanskrit says karma.
Hmm.
Because karma is action. Right. And that's the only word. I'm going to say it again. I've said it probably thousands of times. Karma is the only word that translates to only action in Sanskrit. There's no other term. I've looked through all the dictionaries that I have through the action. Right. So even dharma is action. Right. It may be an actionless action, like the sage who does nothing, because he realizes that what is being done is being done by the dreamer of the universe, or Tao, whatever we may frame that mystery as, right? But there is no doing being done by one being alone, that's for sure.
And there was a quote from Krishna, I think it's from the Srimad Bhagavatam, that beyond our duty to family and to caste and to nation is our duty to the moment.
That's very dharmic. That's
very powerful.
Very powerful. You choose what you're doing, what is happening, what is occurring now, and how you're going to navigate through it. And you, whatever your choice is, there are the great teachings within it. So you can choose a downward spiral, you can choose an upward spiral, you can choose a medium spiral, whatever it is. It is God living through you. And your understanding of that, or your refusal to understand, or that you have never heard the hint that that is so. Do you remember the Ekalavya story is one of my favorite. Huh? There was a greater warrior than Arjuna. Ekalavya was the greatest warrior of all time. Even Arjuna said so. And what did he do? He realized his true nature. The guru said, I want your, what is it? I want your bakshish, not bakshish. What is it?
Dakshina.
And Ekalavya said, I'll give you anything. And he wasn't even in the presence of his guru. He just made this little form and meditated on that form and got all the information. Why? Because it was already within him. That's why. Then Dronacharya says, I am your guru, even though I didn't do anything, right? But I'll take the dakshina now. He says, what do you want? He says, I want your right thumb. He cut it off, gave it to him, walked away.
Yes. And there's an aspect to that story, Shantimai, where Arjuna had demanded that this happen because Drona had promised him that he would be
greatest
warrior.
That was Dronacharya, Sahara. Dronacharya.
I'm sorry. Yes, Dronacharya. So Dronacharya had made the promise to Arjuna that he would be the greatest warrior. Then Ekalavya shows up and Arjuna demands that Ekalavya's thumb be cut off to keep Dronacharya's word intact.
That's right.
And it is said within the Mahabharata that Ekalavya could have ended the entire war himself in a minute.
Yeah.
It would have been done. So it's another example of Arjuna, of Dronacharya making an oath, and then Arjuna demanding.
Wait a minute, just to fill people in, Dronacharya was Arjuna's guru.
Yes, yeah, his warrior guru, right.
Yeah.
So it's another example of Arjuna setting up this war to be as it was.
Oh, of course. Well, he wasn't the only one, but he was definitely in it.
Sure, yeah. Sure. It just brings to the moment of asking Krishna if he could sit this one out.
Can I sit this one out, Krishna? No, you got to get these great teachings so we can perpetuate them through the world, through generations and thousands of years. Wonderful.
Thank you, Shantimai.
Oh, thank you too, Sahar. Lani Ramananda Turner. Yeah, I can hardly see your face. Why don't you turn your light on your computer?
I can turn my light on, but it's not very good lighting.
Are you on a computer?
Yes.
Well, there's a light on your computer on the screen that's a little brighter. Just listen, please. Thank you. If you lighten your screen a little bit, your face will be brighter too. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm not sure how to lighten my screen right now, Shantimai.
Oh, I can see that you're real savvy on that computer. Go ahead, Ramananda. We don't mind.
We're on the Gita topic. This I thought this was a specific verse in the Gita, but I've looked for it in chapter 2, and it's just a general gist of chapter 2. But as Arjuna is hesitating, Krishna says, you have no choice in this matter. Your very nature will compel you to act.
That's right. And that's the beauty, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That goes for everybody, doesn't it, Ramananda?
Yes, and I can say, I can speak from experience that I have no choice in the matter, that life propels you in this fashion.
Be very careful about that. Why do I say be very careful about that? Because it can become your soft bed, you're eating grapes with the laurels around your head. And so you have to be careful because you have a play in your life. And you have a propensity in your life. You have a propensity. And you will go by that nature. But you can always make a choice until, guess what? You're choiceless. So when you're choiceless, you can't help but love, even you don't want to. You always end up in that space anyhow. You can't lie to somebody. You can't misrepresent yourself. You can't say you're something that you're not. You can't manipulate anyone else for your own benefit. It stops. And it's wonderful. So be very careful about taking Krishna's teachings and using them to buttress your ignorance. Now, do you understand?
Absolutely.
Yeah, good.
Glad
you do.
With that, and listening to your transmission on Chapter 2 the other day, you spoke of Yajna. And I believe someplace in the Upanishads, it talks about consciousness feeds upon consciousness. And
let me say what that is, okay?
Yes.
Okay. Food rests upon food. He who knows, or she who knows, that food rests upon food, eats food, becomes food, and is eaten by food. Hari Om. These are very edgy. I like edgy stuff myself because it throws me way beyond the dull knife and it puts you right on the razor's edge. And that is wonderful. So what are you saying? What are you saying about consciousness eats consciousness?
Well, consciousness, it just goes along with Krishna's statement, there's nothing that's born and nothing dies, and it's just life goes on and consciousness transforms and takes another shape. It's just life continues, and that's joyfully participate in that process.
That's right. It is a transformation of energy consistently and through form and without form, beyond form. It's so beautiful. It's unbelievable. And once one comes to that beauty, the self-satisfaction can never be rivaled by an outer satisfaction, never. Even though so other satisfactions may come into play, never be rivaled by one's self-satisfaction. Means I am serene. In the light of God's grace, because I am a poet, the poetry is accurate. Come and see. Fear not. Come and see. Where do you come to? You come to your heart. It isn't mushy. It's powerful. It's the bright light of wisdom. Somebody said to me once, I think I said this in a satsang a couple of weeks ago. Somebody said, "You've made my heart so soft." I said, "Don't say that. Don't say that. Your heart is strong." Powerful, loving. Then how can I give you a hard time, Madhu? Easy, very easy, no problem. Not at all. Very easy. Because you must see the whole scope of life the good in it, the bad in it, the right in it, the wrong in it, the evil in it, the glory of it, and rise above it while you're in it. Be in the world, but not of it, Jesus. I love that statement. I think it's one of the greatest teachings in the Bible. But I don't know the Bible so well, so there might be other really great teachings there that I'm unaware of. I love you. I'm looking forward to seeing you.
See you in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, bring a cup for the exchange. Bring a gift for the exchange. Okay?
Got it. They got them upstairs. I will probably wrap them up this afternoon.
Well, that's really a good idea.
Thank you.
Namaste. Namaste. Yeah, I love edgy teachings. I'm all for whatever cuts away the thickness of a delusion. And within that is a powerful love that is a universal. A universal brilliance. I don't know what other words to use. I fail to use the correct words because I cannot find them. No one has ever been born, and no one shall ever die. And you will be challenged to see that that is so. Because you're of the ilk and the brilliance of receiving that transmission and seeing it for yourself from within yourself. You can see it in nature. And you can never use the great utterances to make excuses for yourself. All excuses will have to be put in the basket and tossed out. Like that. That's a wonderful thing. Namaste. We'll bring Premo back for her wonderful song. What are you gonna chant now, Premo?
JJJ Gananayaka.
Okay, you know what, Premo? I never did get the download for the blessing song.
You didn't? Oh my Mm-mm. God.
No. I would really like to get it. So I don't know how to go about that.
I have it. I sent it to you again. It must have been because you were traveling.
No. It wasn't. It was because I went to the link that you showed me.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't give me the, even you gave me a password, but it still wouldn't give me the content of the, okay. Of the file.
I'll send it again.
Okay. I would love that.
Does that mean you want to hear the blessing now?
Yes.
Okay. The Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. upon. Be gracious to you, the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Children, may his favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family and your children and their children and their children.
Fish.
shine upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you. Be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. And give you peace. And give you peace.
Thank you, Prema. I like the last note. The last note is very special. You should keep it.
I don't remember it.
It's such a touching song.
Oh, yeah.
I'm flying out somewhere.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Always touched. Mm. And there's peace in it. And that's the beauty. It just doesn't disturb that space. Mm-hmm. Even when we're disturbed, it doesn't disturb that space. That's something to discover. Namaste, everyone.
Namaste.